कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 राम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे गौरांगनेताय श्री श्री गौरांगनेताय गौरांगनेताय श्री श्री गौरांगनेताय नेताय गौरांगनेताय श्री श्री प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा श्रील प्रभुपदा गुरुदेवा जय गुरुदेवा गुरुदेवा श्रील गुरुदेवा गुरुदेवा పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकि। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द थर्ड कैंटो 21st चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 12। सो वेरी लॉन्ग परपोर्ट, अबाउट 2 page purport. Jata harsho apatan murdna, kshitau labdha manoratah, girbhis tvabhya grinat priti, svabhavatma kritanjalihi, जातहर्षोऽपतन्मूर्ध्ना क्षितौ लब्धमनोरथः गीर्भिस्त्वव्यगृणात् प्रीति स्वभावात्मा कृताञ्जलिः। जातहर्षोऽपतन्मूर्ध्ना क्षितौ लब्धमनोरथः गीर्भिस्त्वव्यगृणात् प्रीति स्वभावात्मा कृताञ्जलिः। क्षितौ लब्धमनोरथः वैष्णवीस् जातः So someone can help me read the transcendental purport, please. It's a bit little long one. Om ajnanatimirandhasya jnananjanashalakaya chakshuh unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakada mahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guruh shriyuta padakamalam श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं स अद्वैतं स अवधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्तराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गिरादे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Translation: When Kardama Muni actually realized the supreme personality of Godhead in person, he was greatly satisfied because his transcendental desire was fulfilled. He fell on the ground with his head bowed to offer obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord. His heart naturally full of love of God. With folded hands, he satisfied the Lord with prayers. Purport: The realization of personal form of a Lord is the highest perfection stage of yoga. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where yoga practice is described, this realization of personal form of a Lord is called the perfection of yoga. After practicing the sitting posture and other regulative principles of system, one finally reaches the stage of samadhi, absorption in supreme. In the samadhi stage, one can see the supreme personality of Godhead in his partial form as a paramatma or as he is. Samadhi is described in authoritative yoga scriptures such as Patanjali Sutras to be transcendental pleasure. The yoga system described in the book of Patanjali is authoritative, and the modern so-called yogis who have manufactured their own ways, not consulting the authorities, are simply ludicrous. The Patanjali yoga system is called Ashtanga Yoga. Sometimes impersonalists pollute the Patanjali yoga system because they are monists. Patanjali describes that the soul is transcendentally pleased when he meets the super soul and sees him. If the existence of super soul and individual is admitted, then the impersonalist theory of monism is nullified. Yeah. Therefore, some impersonalists
that we will speak a few words. There are many books which are being published now on Patanjali. Even the Karmi books also. Karmi books means those are which are written by non-devotees. Or even, I mean, you can't call them non-devotees. Those who are following the path of yoga, Patanjali's yoga. I have read many of those books I have seen. They honestly declare that the Patanjali's path is a path of dualism or dvaitam, which means Patanjali clearly declares that there is a Supreme Lord and there is a Jiva and there is Prakriti. And when the Jiva becomes entangled in Prakriti, he suffers in this world varieties of afflictions, which are namely five, beginning with avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, and abhinivesh. Avidya means nescience. Avidya, asmita means false ego. Raga means clinging to bodily enjoyments. And dvesha means hatred. And abhinivesha means fear of death or absorption in matter. So these five afflictions, what they call, they are actually the disease of the soul, or when the soul is covered over by these, the jiva is not able to access Ishvara, the Supreme Ishvara, and the jiva is absorbed in a dreamy situation in this world, where he is trying to exploit and enjoy matter, and he is suffering. So there is a very clear declaration. If you read Patanjali Yoga Sutra, you can see the Sanskrit slokas and the word-to-word meanings in many of the books published in the market. Even the publishers of those books have clearly said that at least from the point of view of Patanjali, the meeting of the soul
with the super soul, and the soul developing a great reverence and respect and love for the Lord is actually the culmination of Patanjali Yoga Sutra. That is very clearly declared. Of course, if somebody wants to add his own thing, he can do that. But the fact of the matter is, it is very clearly said that, there are many of the sutras in Patanjali also which say, there are many ways by which we can extricate ourselves from matter. Extricating ourselves from matter means freeing the atma from the chitta. Chitta actually means the man, buddhi and ahankara. All these three put together are called as chitta in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. So, man is the mind, buddhi is the pure reason, and ahankara is the false ego. So, these three are called as antahkarana. Three put together. When the antahkarana is impure, it is called chitta. So, that impure chitta, which is clinging to the soul, has to be extricated. We have to separate it. Just like sometimes you, some ink or something comes in your pocket when you keep an ink pen. And doesn't go with Super Rin, it doesn't go with all types of soaps and powders. Now they have something called Vanish now. So you have to keep it soaked in Vanish and you have to... So it's difficult to remove. Similarly, the chitta, which is contaminated, when it engulfs the soul, then the soul's behavior becomes very improper, inappropriate in this world. That's why we say the conditioned souls have four defects. To commit errors, an inability, an insanity, and cheating propensity. So, these kind of propensities come upon the soul who has become entangled in the matter. So, the soul has to extricate himself. So, in Patanjali Yoga Sutra itself, there are Yoga Sutras which clearly say the soul has various ways to do that in order to remove himself from the material entanglement, namely the Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga. Many things are adopted by the jivas. But it is mentioned that there is nothing as powerful as love of God in helping the soul to become completely cleansed of material contamination. The love of God, it is mentioned, it is so powerful that one can completely become non-existent in the material world even while existing in the material world. The soul can completely free himself. Like that verse says, Nikilashva pyavastasu jivan muktasya uchyate. What is that verse? Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasagira Nikilashva pyavastasu jivan muktasya uchyate. So, how does it happen? Just like the coconut, when it withdraws itself inside, then when you shake it, you can see the sound, kudu-kudu-kudu sound comes. It becomes separated. When you put it in water, when you put a big nariyal in water, it separates itself inside. Similarly, the soul can completely free himself and live within this material bodily shackle, apparently living in a material body, but untouched by material body. Like Padma Patram Ivambasa Krishna says, Like water untouched by the lotus leaf. Like that one can live in this world. And the soul can completely absorb his consciousness in the personality of Godhead and in the spiritual world. Such a person, when he leaves the body, he doesn't even know when he leaves the body. He doesn't even know that he is being transferred from the material world to the spiritual world. So, in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, it's mentioned that if one can love God like that, that is the best path. But in the event of one not able to do that, then these 8 steps are given for them. In fact, Iyengar, who recently passed away, in his book, he mentions this point of Patanjali. He takes it and brings it up to the surface and he highlights this. saying that love for God and prapatti to God is the ultimate. And in the event of one who finds it difficult to surrender to the personality of Godhead, and who finds his body, who finds that his body and the senses is creating a great havoc for him, he has to perform certain activities in order to subdue the senses, subdue the impure mind, and enhance the pure reason, intelligence. And by doing this, he has to gradually bring himself to the point of surrendering to the personality of Godhead. Like that he says. In Vrindavan, you must have seen some people doing Dandavat Parikrama. The main reason for the people doing Dandavat Parikrama is when the body is extremely passionate and is very difficult to control. Actually, the body has to be controlled by the mind, because superior to the senses is the mind. If mind is also very impure, it has to be subdued by intelligence, the superior spiritual intelligence and pure reason. One has to tell the mind and senses the bad consequences of non-restraint. One has to preach to the mind and the senses. But if one is still unable to do that, then one performs certain actions to subdue the body and senses, like people do Dandavat Parikrama, which was not approved by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur actually said the Bhakti Yoga means obedience. Submissiveness to the order of Guru. So if one is submissive to the instructions of Guru, one will be able to control the mind and senses very easily. In fact, making an effort to control mind and senses by personal endeavor, in comparison to controlling the mind and senses by becoming obedient to Guru, when you compare this, obedience to Guru, he said, makes life very, very easy. Makes life very easy. One can very easily control the mind and senses by becoming submissive and obedient to the good instructions of the spiritual master. So, that is why the Hatha Yoga means the first four steps, Yama, Niyama, Pranayama and Asana. Those four steps are called Hatha Yoga, to subdue the senses and the mind. Because if one doesn't situate oneself in a stable state, where the mind and senses are calm, cool and collected, there is no possibility of meditation. That is why Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana and Pratyahara, all these five are called external procedures. And beyond that, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi is internal procedure, where the only tool used is the mind. The Antakarana is the only tool that is used for the top three, the Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. Whereas the previous ones, the body, the mind, the senses, they are, the external things are used. And first externally we have to create a stable situation. Just like we have joined Brahmacharya Ashram, we join. So that we relieve ourselves of the external worldly encumbrances as far as possible, isn't it? So when the worldly responsibilities have been given away, then the only responsibility is to surrender to the order of Guru. We have nothing else. So, and in that also, rising early in the morning, taking a bath and coming in front of the Lord. So we are offering worship to the Lord. We are offering worship to the Agni, the ghee lamp. We are offering worship to the sun. We are performing the Gayatri. We are offering worship to the Acharya. And then offering worship to the spiritual master, offering worship to the Vaishnavas, to Tulasi, to Lord Narasimha. In this way, we are offering worship to all the personalities and gathering their blessings upon ourselves. And then we try to sit and beg the Lord for service by uttering the holy sound, holy name, sound vibration. And we beg him for service. And then when the Lord awards the service through Srimati Radharani, then all day we render the service. So then ascending service and descending mercy. Then more mercy, more and more mercy comes in our life. So when we bathe ourselves with mercy, then we are able to extricate ourselves from all the contaminations. So in this way, we situate ourselves in a holy, stable state, from where we can actually perform meditation on the Supreme Lord. Because meditation on the Supreme Lord is a very, very subtle thing. It's a very fine thing. Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi is a very advanced thing. That is why the first, the externals are prescribed. Several externals are prescribed. In Patanjali Yoga Sutra, it is said, although these are called externals, even these are important. For example, the first step of Yama, which is Ahimsa, Satya, Asteya, Brahmacharya, Aparigraha, Yamaha. These five, he says, this should be taken as absolute, he says. As important as absolute truth. He says, Ahimsa means one should not cause any injury to other living beings. If one does not follow this, his samadhi will be affected. For example, if we injure other living entities, we will develop hatred. And that hatred will not allow us to go one step further, he says. Similarly, Satya, he says, we can never afford to tell a lie. We should always speak the truth. Anyone who speaks a lie, his mind will be hyperactive. It will be disturbed. So he says that these principles should be taken as absolute truth, he says. They have to be followed absolutely. Then only one can go to the further steps and calm the mind, he says. In this way, good amount of energy is spent in the Patanjali Yoga Sutra for explaining the first five procedures, after which the dharana means we have to hold the personality of Godhead in our mind. That is called dharana. Dharana means to grasp, hold something. Dharan karna, we say, no? So we have to hold the Lord in our mind. When one tries to hold like that, certainly the mind wanders. Then one has to, that is why it is said, dhyana means meditation. Dharana means contemplation. Contemplation, meditation and absorption, which is samadhi. So, for us to contemplate, which is contemplation itself, is a very subtle activity. One has to withdraw oneself from gross consciousness. Gross diversions and distractions and everything, and be able to withdraw oneself. Then contemplation is possible. Actually, when a yogi reflects and contemplates, on what? That is the question being discussed here in this verse. What should one contemplate on? Actually, the absolute truth and the individual jivas, they are actually one in quality. So if you want to study the salt content in an ocean, you don't have to bring the whole ocean to your laboratory. You have to just bring a bottle of water from the ocean. Then you can test it in a laboratory and you can know the ocean, isn't it? So, some of the spiritualists, they try to study the soul itself, because the soul is one in quality with God. And if the quality of the soul is thoroughly understood, and the sanctity of the soul, the holiness of the soul is understood, one will give up all bad activities. One will not be able to indulge in contaminating activities if one even begins to understand the soul's difference from the body and how holy is the soul. And then, as one progresses, one comes to a stage where one understands that the soul is not independent. Why am I holy? Because I am part and parcel of the holiest. Why do I have these wonderful qualities? Because there is an ocean of good qualities. And from that ocean of good qualities, I am also having part of some qualities of the soul which are manifesting. So, then one comes to understand the super soul. So, Patanjali does very clearly say that the soul cannot attain freedom from the material tabernacle, material entanglement, without surrendering to the Ishwar. So, there is a very clear word used as Ishwar Pranidhani. So there is another word used called japa also. There is japa is also one of the practices. Like Dhruva Maharaj is doing, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, correct, no? He's chanting also. He's also uttering the holy sound. So japa is also one of the practices of Ashtanga Yoga. And Swadhyaya is also one of the aspects of Ashtanga Yoga, the study of the Shastra. For what? We are not the Supreme God who is always enlightened, who is Sarvajna. We are not like that. we have to study, we have to do swadhyaya to become enlightened. Whereas the Supreme Lord is one who knows everything at all times, and he never becomes bewildered at any time. We being jivas, we become bewildered, and we have to study the shastra and hear the sermons and become enlightened and know the difference between sat and asat, vidya and avidya and everything, and we have to do the right thing. So we have to do japa, we have to do swadhyaya, we have to do ishvara pranidhani, which means surrendering to the Supreme Lord, bowing down to the Supreme Lord with, absolutely bowing down, without any reservations. And then by such contemplation, meditation is possible. How? By Lord's mercy. By Lord's mercy, the faith is established in our heart. By Lord's mercy, the revelations take place. The revelation of the form of the Lord takes place. Jitātmana prashantātmā paramātmā samāhitah śītoṣṇa sukha dukkheṣu tatāmānā apamānayoh. See, this verse says one very amazing phenomenon. He says, jitātmanah. If you conquer the mind, paramātmā samāhitah. Immediately it will become focused on super soul, he says. So when I first read this verse, I was taken by a great surprise, because I thought that when you control the mind, that is one step. And after that, you have to study a lot about super soul, who he is and everything. And then you have to work on concentration. Whereas in this verse, he says, jitātmana prashantātma paramātmā samāhita. He says that when you have conquered the mind, automatically it is focused on the super soul, he says. You have seen this flip-flop switch, you know, either it is here or it's here. Similarly, when the mind is removed from these six things which he is saying, Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkha, Mana, Apamana, when we remove the mind from all these things and we have cleansed the mind and we have controlled the mind, it is automatically focused on super soul, it says. Actually, what is the meaning of that? We cannot conquer the mind without focusing on super soul. That is the fact. Because this Vacha Vegam, Manasa Vegam, Krodha Vegam, which we say, these things cannot be controlled without bhakti. There is one verse in the 11th canto, interesting verse. I used to be always very curious to know how to control the mind and senses. I used to read several books. In Bhagavatam, I read this verse, which says that if one has controlled one particular sense, all other senses can be easily controlled. Like that this verse says, can any of you guess what is that one sense? If you control, all other senses can be controlled. Tongue. And this tongue is like a rudder of a ship. See, in a ship, this one, below the ship there is a rudder. In whatever direction you change the rudder, accordingly the ship's direction changes. The whole ship, huge ship, but the rudder is very small. But the small rudder, you change the direction, the whole ship's size is, direction is changed. Can you imagine? Similarly, our whole body is very big, but the tongue is a little portion. It has no bones also. It doesn't have bones also. It is such a small portion of the body. But this one fellow can control the whole body, he says. All other senses. Jitam sarvam jite rase, he says. So, if indriyani jayantyashu nirahara manishinaha vivarjayettu rasanam tannirannasya vardate, he says. What he says, that indriyani jayanti ashu. Ashu means very quickly, many spiritualists, they conquer all indriyas. Indriyani jayanti, he says. They conquer all the senses. How? Nirahara manishinaha. Manishinaha means very intelligent people. If somebody is attacked by lust, they can fast. Nirahara means nirahara. Don't eat any food. Manishinaha, you can conquer, he says. And then he says, vivarjayetu rasanam, by not giving palatable foodstuffs to the tongue, tan niranasya vardate, he says. Because of that, all the power of all the senses comes in the tongue, he says. Whatever power your hands have, legs have, eyes have, ears have, nose has, all the power, sum total of it comes on the tongue, he says. What is the meaning of that? You fast from sweets for 1 month and see, after that you will eat the same sweet dozen times. which means along with compound interest you will eat. When you try to fast, you try it, you will see that. Because the tongue becomes extremely powerful when you control it. Anyway, although all the other senses will be subdued, you know, when you don't feed the mouth, you know, body becomes very weak, you know. Where is the question of lust? All the different parts of the body become weak, but all the power comes in the tongue, he says. And that is why he says, jitam sarvam jite rase. If you conquer tongue, then all other senses are conquered. If somebody can be very controlled in eating. But Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gave a purport to that verse, which our proper disciples have quoted it. They say, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, that tongue cannot be controlled by karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, all these processes. It's not possible. But there is only one process by which it can be conquered. He says that, like we say, Shri Rupa Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath, Shri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath, Echai Gosai Kori Charena Vandan, Yaha Hoite Vigranash Abhishthapuran, Echai Gosai Jar Muhitara Das, Tansabara Padarenu Mora Pancha Grass. He is saying, my only food for my five senses is the dust of the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, he says. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, one should roam in the 12 forests of Vrindavan and eat the dust of the lotus feet of the six Goswamis as a food for his five senses, namely our Panchendriya, eyes, nose, tongue, ears and skin. When we make that our real food, he says, then your tongue will be controlled. Like that, he says. So this is the only way. So when I was speaking this in a class, one devotee asked, where can I get that dust? He is trying to find the secret of getting that dust, he was asking. So the dust of the lotus feet of the six Goswamis is to actually live our lives following in the footsteps of Goswamis by studying their instructions and the teachings left behind by them, which is actually nothing but Sharanagati, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then all senses, including the tongue, can become conquered. Now, somebody may wonder, Rupa Goswami himself is a pure devotee of the Lord, is a Manjari. How is it that he is beginning the Upadeshamrita talking about the control of the senses without quoting Krishna, without quoting surrender to the Supreme Lord? Because Rupa Goswami knows that no one can control senses without surrendering to Supreme Lord. So, in this way, the Hatha Yogis apparently control their senses and come to the stage of Dharana. But in Dharana, what is to be held? In Dharana stage, the super souls form, who is a partial expansion of the Supreme Lord. You know, his form is to be focused in the stage of Dharana. And when one focuses on the form of the super soul, then one's mind and senses become controlled. Why? There is an explanation given in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yam labdva cha param labham manyate nadikam tataha yasmin stitona dukhena gurunapi vichalyate tam vidya dukkha samyogam viyogam yoga samstitam. There he says, In that series of verses, beginning with before this Yam Labdha Chaparam Labham, there is another verse. What he says? There are two more verses before that. Before Yam Labdha Chaparam Labham. This verse says, Yam Labdha, Labdha means obtain, Cha Aparam Labham Manyate Na Adhikam Tataha. The bliss I am experiencing by seeing the Super Soul and surrendering to the Super Soul is so great. He says that there is nothing in this world. I am ready to undergo. Sukham atyantikam yattat buddhigrahyam atindriyam veti yatrana chaivayam stitaschalati tatvatah. Like that he says. Sukham atyantikam yattat buddhigrahyam atindriyam. It's beyond the range of the senses and mind and intelligence and everything. It is a spiritual bliss. It has nothing to do with matter. And he says, and then once meditation becomes focused, so it doesn't waver at all. It becomes very, very one-pointed in such a bliss. Actually, we have experience when as soon as you take a prasadam plate on a festival day with varieties of items, first of all, we are eyeing on all the items. What are all the different items, isn't it? And then you sit with the plate, it is such a samadhi, if you see, you know. You don't even know who is sitting next to you. We just get, somebody may be talking, somebody may be speaking, somebody may be shouting. None of it affects us. We are one point until the plate is clean. Until we have finished it, you can see that. So, when something very wonderful, something very rare, something which we love very much, we get samadhi. We get instant samadhi. Similarly, this yogi who sees the super soul, he is able to withdraw his consciousness completely from matter and focus, just like that arrow maker was focusing in a one-pointed way, like that. So he sees the super soul. But this is not all, because this is only a shantirati. Shanti means it's a shantras where the yogi is completely satisfied seeing the Lord's beauty. And there is no service involved in this. So as he does dhyana and samadhi, as he elevates himself, gradually the Lord himself will reveal to the meditator his beauty, his nature, his qualities, his pastimes, all those things will be revealed to a person. How it will be revealed? You will see that there is some input given from outside by hearing from the Guru Parampara. And much more will be revealed from inside. Because you will see Rupa Sanatan, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and all other Goswamis also could directly connect with the spiritual world channel and see all the activities happening there in the spiritual world. Many, many innumerable pastimes. Just like in a motor, sometimes motor doesn't start. You do priming, you know. You put some water, you know, and then it starts gushing, coming out. You will see that after some time. Then you don't have to pour anymore. Then the water continuously comes out. Similarly, there is a Chaitya Guru in our heart. There is also preceptor without and Paramatma within, as we say. So the preceptor without is giving us some input. You keep hearing, you keep understanding, you keep endeavoring to do sadhana, swadhyaya, everything. And then the super soul within, one will get connection to that super soul. Then ocean of knowledge is revealed. Of course, we don't become ocean of knowledge, but we get connection to the ocean of knowledge. We get connection to the ocean of reservoir of water. So by getting that connection, yasmin vijnarte sarvam evam vijnatum bhavati, it is said. By knowing Krishna, we know everything, it is said. Why? Because we have connection to the all-knowing. By that connection, you might not have studied a certain field or certain subject, but one can draw from the source of all knowledge, by which one will be able to understand things which one has never heard before. It will become very understandable. So in this way, one becomes greatly knowledgeable, medhavi, as we say. That medhavi nature comes in a yogi by connection with the super soul. In connection with the super soul, all good qualities manifest in the body of the person. Just like Kardamamuni was meditating on the Lord, and when he saw the Lord face to face, all the good qualities manifest in the person. So, in this way, the point of ultimate point of meditation is what? It is super soul. Now, this is for a yogi and for a bhakta who remembers the Lord fondly. The bhakta's love is oceanic love, and the yogi also has love and also reverence mixed with love for the Lord in the heart. But he is only in the shantaras. But bhaktas who develop further personal connection with the Lord, the, the Paramatma doesn't move at all, he's just standing like this. The yogi keeps on meditating in that form. Whereas in the case of Bhakta's case, Lord doesn't just stand. He starts becoming dynamic, he is active. The Lord is speaking with the devotee. The Lord is dancing with the devotee. The Lord is performing leelas with the devotee. Because Lord actually reciprocates with the way that we deal with him. If you want to keep him and just worship him, he will remain where he is. He will show his Shankha Chakra Gada Padma and just give you darshan and ashirvad and everything, and he will smile. That's all. Maximum he will smile. That's all a yogi can see. But if a devotee says, my dear Lord, you are my relative, can you please become my son? Then Lord will become your child and treat you as a mother or father. Can you become a friend? Lord becomes a friend and drives the chariot of Arjuna. If you say, can you become my lover? Then Lord will dance with you, like in rasa dance. So when one develops a desire to strike a personal relationship with the Lord, then Lord agrees to enter into such a relationship with the devotee. Then he performs the pastimes. So in this way, the pastimes of the Lord are compared to a vast ocean. Because these are all adbhutam. Adbhutam means, the word adbhutam is used why? For example, when Kaliya came in Yamuna, Krishna could have taken a bow and arrow and killed him. Or you've taken a sword and cut his head into pieces. He would have done that. But instead of doing that, he did something very wonderful by jumping into the waters and climbing on his head and dancing, inspiring the whole world, isn't it? So in this way, Lord's pastimes are all adbhutam, very wonderful. And by these enchanting, charming pastimes, Lord conquers the heart of the devotee and overwhelms the heart of the devotee with great blissful experience. In this way, when the devotee is pleased, the devotee surrenders more and more, rendering more and more services, then the Lord becomes amazed and stunned by the devotee's surrender. In this way, there is a competition between Lord and the devotee, trying to please one another, and Lord's sweetness goes on increasing. Lord's beauty goes on increasing, because Krishna is called as emperor of sweetness. And the devotee's surrender, and the devotee's inspiration, and the devotee's sharanagati keeps increasing also. So when there is a mutual competition, this actually mutual competition is endless in the spiritual world. This is actually the spiritual plane. So that is compared to a vast ocean, and the waves in that ocean are compared to the pastimes of the Lord. So the Lord's qualities are compared to the droplets of water in that wave. So combination of Lord's qualities is manifested in a pastime. And several pastimes are constituted within the Lord's personality. So in this way, Haridas Thakur told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu was asking about the sweetness of the holy name, Haridas Thakur said, when the holy name is chanted, the Lord's qualities are revealed and the Lord's pastimes are revealed, he said, which are like the ocean waves. And the waves come one after another and attack the devotee in the heart. That is why it is said, what is that song? Kallola Magna Muhu? No, what is that line? What is that statement? Kallola Magna Muhu. You know, in one of the lines it comes. Tyaktva Turna Mashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sadatu Chavat Bhutvadina Ganesha Kau Karunaya Kaupina Kantashritau Gopi Bhavara Samritabdi Lahari Kallola Magna Muhu. So Gopi Bhav, when the devotee acquires the bhav of the great devotees like gopis, Gopi Bhav Rasa Amrita Abdi. Abdi means ocean. Lahari means the waves. So the bhav is like a ocean, the prem is like the ocean, and the bhav is like the waves which carry the pastimes, and the droplets are the qualities of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And kallola means, you know, one pastime comes in the mind, another pastime comes in the mind, and they hit like this. That's called kallola. So kallola magna muhu. So muhu muhu means again and again the devotee relishes and revels in those pastimes of the Lord. One pastime is enough. Sometimes you go to Vrindavan, you see Vrijavasi sitting and meditating on one pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan hill. Whole life they meditate on. Sitting in one place, only on that one particular pastime, treating Krishna as their son. So, in this way, the great pastimes of the Lord, which are oceanic, they fill the heart of the devotee, and that is the meditation of a devotee. So, when we chant the holy name is like a capsule which contains, the naam contains dham also, within it. So, by chanting the naam, the dham will be revealed, it is said. So, we go to the dham personally, but actually when the naam is chanted properly, then the dham reveals itself. Because over the dham, there is a covering which covers the dham, because Lord Shiva is the dhampal, who covers the dham. He does not reveal. See, Shiva and our spiritual master and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they are all compared in the shastras as tattvas which are similar. For example, Adi Guru is Balaram. Similarly, Lord Shiva is called Charachara Guru in the Pracheta section. Similarly, our spiritual master. Our spiritual master has revealed the dham to us by speaking about the Lord's name, form, qualities, pastimes and activities. And now after hearing them, how seriously we take it in our own life, in our heart, in our lives, and we perform devotional service. Then the second dham revealer is Shiva, because he's the dhampal. Because our guru tells us in our ears, we hear it, and if we take it very seriously and we implement it, then Lord Shiva reveals the dham. Then when you go to the dham, and then he lets us see the reality of the dham, where the sweetness of the dham is also revealed. Similarly, the name reveals the form, then from the form we get the qualities. Because when you look at the form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord are also revealed. Like Prabhupada says, one morning, you know, Krishna's remembrance came to me in a very beautiful way, like that Prabhupada writes in one poem. So, which means Krishna's qualities and pastimes are actually not captured by us. That is why it is said bhakti is not achieved, bhakti is awarded, it is said. In the same manner, these qualities of the Lord and activities of the Lord, pastimes of the Lord, can be studied in the books, but that is like priming. We can only give some input from outside. That is not all. When what we give from outside connects with what is inside already, then the inside will come gushing out. That remembrance of the Lord. So, when we chant the holy name, the outermost circle is the anarthas, which are attacking us always. Then you go one more circle inside, then there are positive distractions. In the beginning, there are negative distractions, kama krodha lobha distractions. Then there is positive distraction circle. What is it? There, oh, I have to do this service. Oh, I have to complete this work. So this kind of, this is called positive distraction because it is actually seva oriented. It is something constructive in the path of devotional service, but it comes as a distraction. It's a positive distraction. Then we go further deep inside. There is a circle of something that we admire about in devotional service. We may admire a devotee. We may admire Krishna. Krishna's pastime, something that we admire. See, what we admire only sticks to our mind. You will see that. What we respect, what we admire, sticks to our mind. Because when you respect something, when we admire something, then knowingly, unknowingly, we appreciate it with our mouth also. We'll go and tell somebody, how wonderful it is, isn't it? Whether that person found it wonderful or not is another thing. But if you find it wonderful, you'll go and talk to somebody. So, in this way, when we, the inner circle after positive distraction is actually the circle filled with spiritual admirations. How wonderful the Lord is dressed today. How beautiful this shloka is. What a wonderful meaning it is. How humble that devotee is. Like this, when we admire secretly in our own minds, so that admiration sticks to our mind. So that is a spiritual contemplation circle, which is a very wonderful circle it is. During chanting, if we get distracted to that circle also, no problem. We are in the right track. Why? Because when the aeroplane has to land in an aerodrome, airport, sometimes there is some air traffic is very heavy. So the airplane keeps rotating like this. And then when the space is given, then the aeroplane comes down. Similarly, when we are in this admiration circle, admiration and appreciation and great respect and reverence, you will see our heart will soften because this type of admiration is very anukul for bhakti. Although it is also counted as distraction also, but it is very anukul. When you keep doing that, suddenly you will find Hare Krishna, Krishna, your mind will hook to the holy name for a few moments and again it will come back. But we have to ensure that we are within this circle, like meditating on Krishna's qualities. There are 64 qualities of Krishna explained beautifully by Rupa Goswami, very wonderfully. So then one can come back to that. Just like you go to a doctor, you want to take the medicine, and when you eat the medicine, disease will be cured. But sometimes you go to a doctor, there are 20-30 patients waiting there. Some people are restless. They see the big number of patients and they go away. After 2-3 hours, they come back and see again another 20-30 are sitting. And then they go away. And that is not intelligence. If one is intelligent, one has to sit there along with that. So you'll be given a token also. Keep the token and sit, and then your turn will come. And you will meet the doctor, take the medicine, and you'll get cured. Similarly, we have to keep ourselves in that inner circle. So we have to keep ourselves in the innermost circles possible. Of course, we definitely have to get rid of the anartha circle when we are chanting. Then we can get into the positive distraction circle. Then we get into the meditation on the qualities and pastimes of Krishna and devotees. And something very, very thing that is spiritually rejuvenating, which makes us admire and appreciate and feel gratitude for, feel deep sense of relish, that circle. And then as one remains in that circle, dwells for a long period of time, one will come to that central point. And that central point, which is a pure Naam, Shuddha Naam, is only possible when we avoid offenses. Actually, avoiding sins is very easy, but avoiding offenses is difficult. Why? Because devotion service cannot be practiced without living in the midst of devotees. But when we live in the midst of devotees, it is very difficult to perform devotion service without committing offenses. Because we will see so many faults around. So this is really like a tightrope walk. See what amazing thing it is. Just like the deer has to drink water in a particular place, and that is where the tiger is hiding. So if the offenses are compared to tiger, you know, the water is like the devotional association, isn't it? So you have to go and drink water, but you'll be attacked by the tiger. So then how to do that? So one has to be always very prayerful and humble, praying to Lord that let me never commit offenses. Let me always be attentive and alert. Let me be attentive to the good qualities of others. And let me be attentive to avoiding offenses so that I can make a swift progress in my consciousness. So our inner consciousness will develop more and more as we become free from offenses. Then actually Lord will open up the door to the treasure house of His qualities and pastimes as the devotee gives up the offensive mentality. So our fixity on the holy name and our further development in spiritual life is actually choked because of the offenses actually. Offense practically blocks our progress. So if one becomes conscious of this point and is more cautious and attentive and careful, then one can make further and further progress. So seeing the personality of Godhead is not just the ultimate realization, but seeing the personality of Godhead and eventually the relishing the qualities of the Lord and intimately glorifying Him. In glorification also there are different levels of intimacy. You see, the demigod glorification is mostly connected to the material world, you will see. Whereas there are other devotees who glorify, thanking Lord for giving mukti. There are people who say, I don't want mukti, I want service. But even in those who are asking for service, there are those who deal with him in a very intimate manner. Like the gopis, Gopi Geetam prayers are very, very intimate. The way, so the more the intimacy in offering glorification to the Lord, and the Lord becomes sold out to such devotees. And he also deals intimately with such devotees in reciprocation also. So in this way, this is actually the ultimate platform of concentration and meditation. As soon as the devotee sits to chant the holy name, when he utters the holy name, immediately as a part of the recitation of the holy name, the Lord's pastimes are revealed to the devotee. In our stage, we are trying to get concentration on the holy name. We should not artificially think of the pastimes, because if you artificially think of the pastimes, it is like externally putting water. It won't help much. Actually, when the Lord is pleased with the recitation of the holy name, he will descend in the tongue of the chanter. And he will enter the heart of the chanter. He will show his beauty. He will show his sweetness. He will show his pastimes. And in this way it will be revealed. For us, as of now, the revelation of a pastime means when we are hearing a class, if you relish the pastime, you are extremely fortunate. Because even that relish itself is a great thing. Sometimes we may hear a class, we may take note of the information about the pastime. The details of the pastime, we may note. But it does not produce a relish in our heart. But if it produces a relish in our heart, we are hearing Krishna Sudama pastime, how Krishna is behaving with Sudama and Sudama is behaving with Krishna. When you hear the pastime, it produces a great spiritual relish. That itself is a very great progress in spiritual life. So such a relish, as it gradually increases more and more and more in quantity, when a devotee comes to a stage of great spiritual relish, a mere utterance of one small section of a pastime delights a devotee. Then when one chants the holy name, then gradually Lord will reveal his qualities, pastimes, all those things will be revealed by the Lord like that. That is full revelation. And Mayavadis have no access to this at all. Because the Mayavadis are Krishna Paradis. They deny the form of the Lord and consider themselves the Lord. Na bhajanti avajananti. So they neither do they accept and worship the personality of Godhead. And they are considered offenders. So they cannot have access to the personality of Godhead. That is why their idea of God is very vague. They only see a vague light only. That's all they can see. Because of denying the Lord. But because we are all very fortunate to come in a Vaishnava parampara, we are able to get access beyond that vague light to the personality of Godhead. And beyond just the mere understanding of the personality of Godhead, the Lord's qualities and behavior and his speech and activities, and the pastimes by which he becomes controlled by his devotees, becoming subordinate to his devotees. And there are layers and layers and layers of subtle information, subtle truths about Lord's personality that Lord reveals through the acharyas, through the Vaishnavas. The more they have surrendered and become intimate with him, the more the Lord reveals to them. And they expose us to those truths so that we can also get access. And in this way, the transcendental competition of love between the Lord and the devotee, trying to please one another and serve one another and delight one another, is the culmination of all knowledge, which Prabhupada has very expertly presented in his books and given us access to. And we know what is our north, true north, in which direction we should go. And we know what is the pole star that we have to attain. Very clear. So keeping these aspirations in the core of our heart, if we chant the holy name and study Prabhupada's books, it is only a matter of time we will attain the goal. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.